Hey, Roman.
Hey, Nick. Have you noticed that people don't even talk to each other anymore? And if they talk to each other, they're not actually listening to one another.
That was really intense.
I know, right? We're starting a podcast, man. And we're gonna cover everything from pop culture to politics.
As long as we get to talk about anything that influences our society and I get to drink, I'm in.
Oh, then we're gonna call it
the Garbled Podcast.
Yeah, and I know exactly who will let us host it. The Black Tribbles.
They will let us do that?
They're totally going to let us do that. The Black Tribbles, man.
All right, let's do it.
Awesome.
Conversations have become less about listening and more about talking. And now it's time for change through conversation. Welcome to the Garbled Podcast.
What's up, everybody?
What's going down, folks? Welcome
to the Garbled Podcast. We just did the new intro, so
yeah.
We say it at the same time now.
Yeah, we're going to do it at the same time now. I think
probably that's not every week.
Nope.
It'll be a treat.
Coordination is tricky with liquor.
Yeah.
All right, folks. So today we are going to be talking about some of the controversy that went down earlier this week.
Is it controversy?
I feel like everything that's
ever is controversial.
It's controversial. No, this really was controversial, though. We're going to be talking about free speech and how that applies to celebrities.
In a roundabout way.
But before we get into that, we're going to do what we do every week.
Yes.
When we do the Garble Podcast. We're going to talk about
The news.
The news, exactly. The stuff that's going on in the world.
What is happening today? And I will start.
Go ahead, Nick. Start us off.
I normally ask who would like to start. I want to start because I feel my news story is more pressing than anything that we have ever reported here on the Garbled Podcast.
Wow, that's a lot of energy for the 36th episode, man.
Not to oversell it, but I do want you to know that there's been some racial injustice that has happened outside of this country for a change.
Really? Outside of the country? With President Cheese Puff as our president? There's racism going on outside of the U.S.?
Funny you should say that. So, Singapore. Dateline, Singapore. So, you realize that is the location of
the... That's where Trump and Kim Jong-un or Il, which is it?
Kim Jong.
Yes.
I believe it's ill.
Yeah, I don't want to offend any of our... Well, I wouldn't be offending any of our North Korean listeners because there's no North Korean listeners.
Is it we're banned? Oh my God, we're embargoed?
No, they're just not allowed to have radio.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway...
I'm sorry. I'm not...
In this apologetic
society that we live in, I have to apologize because somewhere out there, someone is being offended...
Isn't that the point?
That is the entire point
of this show. Do not effing apologize for this.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. So, I want you to know that in advance of these talks, in Singapore, at this moment, the impersonators have landed.
The impersonators?
Yes. The Kim Jong and Donald Trump impersonators have landed in Singapore.
That's your news story?
That's my news story. Here's why it's my news story.
Okay, good.
The Kim Jong impersonator was detained by authorities upon arrival.
For looking like Kim Jong?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, seriously?
No, they seriously actually detained him for several hours while they made sure, this is how on point he is, he wasn't actually Kim Jong. Because if you were a North Korean dictator, would you not show up in advance by yourself with no entourage?
No entourage, no
By yourself,
security.
Just to throw people off? Would you not do that? Would you not be that diabolical, maybe with a suitcase bomb in tow?
Seriously?
Kind of.
I would, because that's the kind of asshole that I am. But
you would do that?
Oh, I would totally do that.
You were like, I'm a dictator. I'm going to go alone. And they'd be like, no, Supreme Leader.
No, and as soon as they went to detain me, like, 10 guys would come out and...
Oh, they'd be like tourists?
They'd be like dressed
and
up like
tourists. And like elderly, but still special forces, that would disguise them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I would do. But you know...
I agree with your plan.
Being the Puerto Rican Hawaiian delegate, I feel like I could...
There's no delegation from Puerto Rico / Hawaii. Yeah. That is
but I feel like I
could
disguise
talks.
Like five big Hawaiian guys and five like, you know, Puerto Ricans and just like dress them up as tourists and they would be my entourage.
Did they come together?
Yeah.
Like five interracial couples just showed up.
Or I would specifically look
as the Gestapo.
For 10. Oh. No.
What?
It was like,
what'd I say?
We weren't even 5 minutes and already. Anyway,
it wasn't propaganda.
Nazis. Anyway,
it wasn't
no. I would specifically look
apologies
for.
Apologies to the Black Tribbles? Is that what I have to do now?
No. I would specifically look for 10 half breeds like myself.
Oh my God.
And get them. So they'd be like Puerto Rican, Hawaiian, and. You know, like some of them with the tribal, you know, with the traditional tattoos.
Some not.
Because they're blending in.
Oh, they're blending.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Anyway,
well,
go ahead.
They're trying to pass.
But I would do that. Yes, I would totally do that. But that's me. And it's seeing as though there's no Puerto Rico, Hawaiian.
Island? I think that's probably what?
No, there is a Puerto Rico and there is a Hawaii, but there's no...
Yeah, but there's no intersection island where the two cultures...
Actually, that is where you are wrong, sir.
I assume that's why I was asking.
There's so many Puerto Ricans in Hawaii. Do you know that in the Hawaiian language, there's actually a word for, or a slang word for people who are Puerto Rican in Hawaii? Puriki.
Okay, is that a slur that you now have
no,
to
no,
apologize
for? No, it's not a slur.
For?
No, it's not a slur.
Right, because you're both, you could say it.
No,
I couldn't
no,
say it.
No, it's not a slur
because
at all.
Because I
it's,
don't know how to make that sound with my tongue.
Okay, it's Boriki, and it's like, so Puerto Ricans, it, you know, they call themselves Boricua. Those.
Oh,
you know,
right.
Right. From
I knew that.
It's a native word for Puerto Ricans.
Okay.
And so, yeah, Boriki.
That's Boriki.
Boriki, yeah.
How did
in
I
Hawaiian.
Do with my pronunciation?
In Hawaiian? Okay.
Or how did I do... How about my Puerto Rican pronunciation?
We're not getting into this. Oh, go ahead. So they showed up.
Anyway, they showed up.
Tangent.
Separately. And the Kim Jong impersonator was detained for several hours while Singapore authorities made sure it wasn't actually him, which... So
how do you check that? Is that fingerprints?
I would assume it's a rush DNA job. I mean, like the guy.
So his DNA is on file?
Have you seen this guy? Have you seen this guy? In the last World Cup, he showed up.
Uh-huh.
And he showed up with an entourage that looked like he was like
playing?
Somebody powerful.
Yeah, like he was playing the game that day.
He was coming to watch from the presidential box. Like that kind of like. He was wearing his traditional suit, and he had several women in his entourage, and he showed up, and people were like, oh my God, is that... No, it's an impersonator? Oh, okay. You know, because the word got out mm-hmm. before he got into the stadium, but this dude showed up unannounced and by himself, and he was immediately detained, like facial recognition. That's how close this guy looks
wow.
to the Supreme Leader, because he was... They were like... I can imagine being security and looking at the monitor and going, is that? No, there's no way. He doesn't have an entourage. And then they like run him through the program and they're like, oh, maybe it is him. And they detain him. Would the dictator of North Korea, who his legend precedes him and permeates his own country because it's manufactured, would they go, he's crazy enough to actually show up by himself
to get
the lay of the land before he actually has the meeting?
That's probably what was running through their minds when they detained him.
Now, would the North Korean government allow the dictator, the guy who calls all the shots, to leave unattended for the risk of defection?
I don't know.
Because they don't let any other resident leave unattended for the same risk.
Hmm. Interesting.
And if I was a security person, would I assume that he had that authority to just wander off on his own and get on a plane?
I mean, I guess that
they
was
gotta
the security
do their due
protocol.
Diligence.
Yeah.
They got to do their due diligence. Okay, I'll go with that. But anyway, he was fine. The Trump impersonator was not, which is why I'm crying racial injustice.
Oh, was he not the right shade of orange?
He was...
He's like, they held up a color wheel, and they're like, no, you look human to us.
He can pass because he's not that orange.
Yeah, I was like, no, you definitely, your hair doesn't look like it was.
No, like, it looks like it's sewn in on purpose. Anyway, that's my news story.
That was your news story. Okay. Hey, you know,
I thought it was pressing.
Interestingly enough, do you know that's how you can always tell when it's a dictator? When the the person in charge is, you know, like if you look at North Korean
orange.
Citizens, they're all like, you know, skinny and malnourished.
No, but he's
the dictator is like just like spilling out of his clothes.
Yeah, but that was genetic. I mean, look at his father. He had a beer gut.
Right, because nobody else in the country knows what beer is.
You don't know that. Have you been there?
No, I've never been.
Have you immersed yourself in North Korean culture?
No, I haven't.
Don't speak out of ignorance and hate.
Okay, and I'm going to let that slide. So, my news story.
Yes, please. Thank you.
My news story is a little, you know, me being a science guy, is a little more science-based. And to me, it's a big deal, and I'm kind of a little aggravated that it hasn't been a bigger deal. So Thursday morning, NASA made an announcement that they made two discoveries on Mars. Two discoveries on Mars, and they both...
That's not to be, like, glib about it, but that's a lot for interplanetary discoveries.
Yeah, yeah.
In one day.
It is a lot. There were two discoveries... one overshadowed the other one, of course, because the first discovery was that they found in a 3.5 billion year old rock, they found evidence of organic matter.
Okay. How is that the small one?
Well, that's the one that got the most attention because that's the one that everybody like.
They found a fossil.
They found evidence of organic matter. And
not a fossil.
Not a fossil. They found fossilized.
They found chemicals.
They found basically chemicals that point to organic matter.
Oh, okay.
But in previous specimens that they've collected, there are some scientists that argue that they have found organic matter.
Okay.
The fossilized organic matter, and there's some people that question it. It's this big hot debate in science.
How would this be different than if it was
well, because this was
just found. Nobody's had really
well
any
because
they
so when
it.
Viking when the Viking probes landed on Mars, both of them did experiments to test for life, and both of them came back positive. But then they've been since discredited because another lander did the same experiment and it came back negative. So it's been debated back and forth for a long time now. But they found evidence of organic matter. That was the first big thing.
Okay.
And everyone latched onto that because it points to the possibility of life on Mars.
But it did before, so I can see where this is the sort of red herring of the two stories.
Right. And the second discovery, which I was more excited about the second discovery.
Okay.
Because this one, to me, really indicates... the bigger possibility of life. What they found was that there's methane deposits in the atmosphere of Mars.
Cow farts.
No, come on now. What do you...
That's anyway, what methane is.
No, that's not all that methane is. But but the reason that methane is important is because there's two ways that methane's produced on Earth. It's either geological, you know, coming up from the Earth, or it's produced as a byproduct of life.
Yes.
And now,
which is what I alluded to earlier.
Right, with the cow farts.
I'm intelligent.
So the reason the second one is more interesting to me is because it's they've noticed spikes in the times of year that the methane concentration is higher in the atmosphere. And
Like over time?
Yeah, like over time they've realized...
As the rover's been rolling around?
Well, no. As they've done the study, they've realized that when there's more sunlight shining on the northern hemisphere...
It releases it.
There is an upspike in the methane in the atmosphere.
Ah, okay.
The parts per All million. Right. Now, that point... That's more interesting because that points... to the stronger possibility of life, because one of the things that we see on Earth is that there's an oxygen spike in our atmosphere during two times of the year.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. There's so the trees release more oxygen in they release large amounts of oxygen in the summer time and in the winter right before we go into winter.
Okay. Yeah.
And
that
I might
makes
be
sense.
Slight,
that makes sense.
I might be slightly off on that, but because I haven't looked at that information recently, but for so we
that
see
sense,
oxygen
though.
Spikes in our atmosphere as a byproduct of trees.
Okay.
And they're thinking that the methane spikes might be a byproduct of organic
something
matter
that's living
receiving
now.
Receiving sunlight, and thus because it's receiving more light, it releases
more methane in this case.
It also points to the it comes with a caveat because there's also the possibility
because it's another planet we have no idea what's
exactly
going on.
We don't have people on the ground to actually
do
the test there's also the possibility that because the northern hemisphere is receiving more light from the sun that that warms up the atmosphere and thus allows the methane that's already trapped because of the cold conditions to melt and release into the atmosphere. So there's both possibilities, but scientists are really interested in the first possibility.
And obviously romantic to look
with
at
finding the possibility of organic matter and those two in combination really point to the fact that there might have been or might still be some type of living organisms on Mars. And so one of the things that they want to do is they want to get out there and they want to do definitive tests to be able to, and what they would, if they were to find something organic, they would run like DNA tests on it to compare it to DNA on Earth. Now, this is where it gets interesting, because if that, the DNA samples from this organic matter were to come back similar to us, then it proves a theory that started out in science fiction called panspermia. And that's the idea that life didn't necessarily need to start on Earth for it to have gotten on Earth. The theory of panspermia
That's a terrible term, by the way.
No, it's a perfectly scientific term.
But it's a little sophomoric.
Okay, but so panspermia points to the idea that if you have this organic matter, let's say on a rock that freezes up, and that rock gets thrown up into space by, let's say, like a meteor impact or something like that, and then those rocks make their way through our solar system,
and
they would eventually land on Earth. And
Mars and
anywhere else. Yeah,
The
beauty of panspermia is that it doesn't necessarily mean that life had to originate here. It could have originated somewhere else.
Right.
And made its way here by the model that I just...
Yeah, which would actually make us sort of a tragic success story, because if you're going to hit a planet that hard that has life... I assume that life on that planet, at least as they knew it, wouldn't exist anymore, and that these rocks seeded other worlds. So,
it's kind of
romantic.
It is. The beauty of panspermia is that it could have started on Mars, it could have started on Earth, and just seeded out to the rest of...
Could have started anywhere.
Any terrestrial body. So, some of the frozen moons, Europa, on...
Jupiter. I can't wait until we find full-on
Enceladus,
like, fish
and Saturn
on Europa, by the way.
Yeah. And so that's transpermia. But the really cool find would be if the DNA sample comes back different from ours. So now we have...
Generated on its own.
So now you have two planets in the same solar system that have completely different forms of life developing. And that would point to the idea that life is not a rarity in the solar, in the universe.
Does anyone mathematically believe that that is still a rarity?
There's people that point to things like the Fermi paradox and we, you know, we covered this in a previous episode.
It's still possible.
It's still very possible.
But realistically, does anyone believe that we would be the singularity?
Well, I feel like this very romantic idea of us being it for a lot of people.
Right.
I personally don't like that idea because it terrifies me. Because I don't want to be it. I don't want this to be it. Like, I feel Einstein... I think it was Einstein that said, like, if, or maybe it wasn't Einstein, it was, might have been Carl Sagan that said, if we're it, that seems like an awful waste of space.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So whoever said it, I agree.
That's my news story.
All right.
You know, I was very excited about the
I was as well when I read it, but it was more when I started reading about it on Tuesday and they were teasing it.
Yeah.
NASA's
gotten really good at that.
They've gotten good at marketing, man. Like, I was waiting for, and we found this thing that attacked the rover and destroyed it. And here's the footage.
Right. It's a transformer kicking a rover.
Weren't they on the moon?
Yeah, Dark Side of the Moon.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Well, I think there's a whole movie about that.
I think, a documentary, really.
All right, so let's get into it today.
Okay, what is the topic today?
So
flesh it out for me.
So here's what happened. Roseanne Barr. Roseanne Barr, famous comedian.
The one who sung the national anthem in a messed up way.
Yeah. You might have heard of a TV show that she had back during the 90s.
Called All in the Family.
It was called Roseanne.
Oh, right.
Right. And you're saying it's a ripoff? Oh. Anyway.
Well, by the time you're done with this story, yeah, maybe.
So Roseanne Barr, she had a show back in the 90s called Roseanne. And they brought her show back. And it was kind of cool, the idea behind it anyway, that the show picks up, you know, in real time, you know, 20 years later,
yes.
And it's her kids now.
And her husband, who had died of a heart attack, was back.
Yeah, well, they explained it away. They explained it away. Anyway, Roseanne Barr jumps on Twitter and...
The actress, not the person in the show.
Right, the actress who plays Roseanne in the show. She jumps on Twitter, and she made some pretty racist remarks. So just to go over the tweet. So the tweet was, and she's talking about Valerie Jarrett, who was a former senior advisor to President Obama. So okay. The tweet reads, VJ, and the words, Muslim Brotherhood and Planet of the Apes had a baby.
What?
Yeah. So
what does that even mean?
I mean... It's clear that she's comparing Valerie Jarrett, who is African-American, to gorillas. Planet of the Apes.
Muslim
Brotherhood and Planet of the Apes.
Was any of that involved in the movie? I mean, I didn't really see it. But
what are you talking about? What movie?
Planet of the Apes.
No, it wasn't. That's just her being a fucking smartass and comparing... This woman to the Muslim, she's saying that she's the product of the Muslim Brotherhood and the planet, if the gorillas from the Planet of the Apes got together and had a baby, it would be Valerie Jarrett.
I don't think the Muslim Brotherhood would be on board with that.
Come on, Nick. I'm not fucking defending her.
Okay.
In any way, shape, or form. What she said was fucking deplorable. It's disgusting. Yeah. And then what really pissed
me... Well, yeah, obviously it's a gross statement, and I'm sorry if I
made
light of it improperly, but yeah.
No, but the thing that I had a serious problem with was how she tried to clean it up afterwards. She said...
Oh, the ambient comment?
Yeah, she said...
I'm sorry, I was high at the time.
Yeah, I'm on Ambien. And now, granted, I will give you that. Ambien
is a hell of a drug.
Is a hell of a fucking drug. And it makes people do weird shit. I've heard about people getting up in the middle of the night
and tweeting about
cooking breakfast.
Really?
Or cooking full meals, eating the meal, going back to bed.
Careful, you could get sued by Ambien.
And waking up the next day with no knowledge of it and wondering why the hell they have indigestion.
Oh.
There was even a case of this guy in Oregon that I was reading about where he went on a drive and got pulled over by the cops.
And had no recollection.
And clearly he was white because he didn't get shot. But but the cops pulled him over, and when they started talking to him, they realized that
he had no idea where he was or who he was.
Yeah, by the way he was talking, that he was still asleep. And
they had him blow in the device, and it came back sleep.
I don't know, but so I've heard of
Ambien doing some.
Well, you know, again, he was white, so they asked all the questions.
I got you. Yeah.
Instead of shooting him. But
God.
But they, so there have been cases where, you know, Ambien does make you do some weird shit. However,
I love their response.
I love Ambien's response. Whoever runs their Twitter,
oh my
genius.
God. They were
genius.
They were spot on.
Yeah, they were like, racism is not a byproduct of using our medication.
Their full quote, I believe, and I guess don't quote me, but was, certain drugs have, or I'm sorry, all drugs have certain side effects. However, racism is not documented as one of them. So they didn't single themselves out. They said, if you take drugs, there will be side effects. You have to know what they are. But this has never been documented. And I love their sort of analytic approach to it.
Right. It was like I said, it was spot on. Whoever did it was genius. 65-year-old woman.
Okay.
Who's working on a set. But see, this is the thing. And hasn't in a while. And she's got a sleeping, whatever. Well, the point that I'm trying to look at it.
Okay.
But it still doesn't excuse it, because Roseanne has a history of saying racist shit before.
Well, and she has a history of doing what Howard Stern has done, what Donald Trump has done, what quite a few people have done, which is capitalizing on the most sensitive nerve in the country to generate press. She hasn't done it in a while, and I will cite her singing of the national anthem back in the day.
Yeah, it caused a lot of controversy.
It caused a lot of controversy. She did it, in her words, as a comedian, if a comedian was asked to sing the national anthem at a sporting event. She was spitting, she was vulgar, she was reprehensible in every way she could possibly think of to be during that song as an act. Right? And she got a lot of heat, and she apologized, and she explained she was a comedian, and why would you hire a comedian to do that? Now, this time around, she did the same thing. She is trying to promote her show by being irreverent. And she took it to Twitter to continue that. Now, on the show, there was a lot of debate in a few episodes before all of this went down, where she went and met her Muslim neighbors, right?
Now, I have not seen any of the show.
Read clips about reviews of the episode. She went to see her Muslim neighbors, and there were a lot of jokes. Because Roseanne, the character in the show, is conservative, right? And, I mean, this takes place in what state? Middle of the country?
Middle America.
Middle America, you know, everyman type of I have misgivings type of thing. And she went and she met her neighbors who happened to be Muslim for the sake of the show, right?
Right.
And there were some jokes in there about them that would probably be made if there were good writers out in the Midwest that just lived by themselves. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, she was being... she's playing to a base not unlike the president.
Okay.
Right? Or at least that's the character she's trying to convey, like Stephen Colbert when he had the Colbert Report.
Right, right. It's all it's middle America.
It's an act.
Very staunch, ultra-Republican.
And not even necessarily you could take politics out of it, just sort of the, I haven't experienced this before, this is how I'm going to react to it.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of mentality, right? Mm. When I'm faced with something new, I'm going to be cautious of it. But then, as the plot progresses, I am going to warm to this as I get to know it better, right? That kind of mentality is, I think, what they were trying to portray. And I think, quite frankly, what she is trying to portray in the show as a whole, having been a fan of the original show, not the reboot.
Okay. Right?
I haven't seen any of the reboot. It doesn't interest me at this point in my life. I've moved on. But,
And the show, and I will point out, okay, like, because I did, I watched the show, and I
really?
Enjoyed, Roseanne, yeah, I enjoyed really? The show. Yeah, because I felt like, one of the things that made that show so interesting back when it was on was that it was a very real portrayal of a family.
And a it Middle America family.
Well, no, what
they
I...
They were in, like, Iowa or Ohio or
Ohio
something?
Something like that. I can't remember. But I remember that there were aspects of the show that were very relatable because it was real in the way that they
comedy.
Talked to each other
yep.
and in the way that they interacted with one another.
Fair.
So, I enjoyed the show when I was younger.
I did as well.
But what she did on Twitter is undefended. You can't defend it. There's no.
It's her outside of the character tweeting,
right.
and voicing her opinion.
Exactly. And
yeah.
Which goes to the topic, which is like these celebrities
yep.
jumping up on stage, if you will, and just mouthing off and saying, here's the thing.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off.
No, but go for it. Just, go for it.
Like, I'm all for free speech, freedom of speech. And there are people who are like, oh, she was just enacting her freedom of speech. Great. She enacted her freedom of speech.
Yep.
Freedom of speech does not mean freedom from consequences.
No, absolutely not.
And she said something that was fucking racist.
Yeah.
And she got hammered down for it.
Yep.
And rightly so. Yep. And, you know, I don't feel a lick of pity for her. I don't feel remorse or anything, you know, like I'm not shocked or surprised by it either. And anybody who's been
I'm surprised.
Paying attention to Roseanne and her career should not be shocked or surprised. And
no,
and
she
frankly,
does this a lot.
Frankly, you know, like she has a history of mental illness.
Really?
You know, she's admitted to being bipolar and having multiple personality disorder. And I'm not even sure that's
really?
Even yeah. I'm not even sure that that's the proper term anymore. But she's admitted to all these mental issues, but it doesn't surprise me that someone who has mental issues is attracted to the current Republican Party that seems to be the party of mental issues.
It is? Like, how so? Do you mean like they have mental issues?
The way that the way that they're behaving and acting is very, you know, I could see how somebody who has, because like if you look through some of Roseanne's tweets, you can see that she's a very big conspiracy person. Like she thinks everything is a conspiracy, and I could see how.
Yeah, but a racial, essentially
also,
slur like that she made up herself.
Are you surprised that there's an uptick in racist comments? From people when you have the president of the United States who fucking gets on television every week and is like, oh, Mexicans are...
Absolutely, people feel right now that they are empowered by who has been voted into office by 30 some odd percent of the population.
Yes. I mean, like, and that's one of the things that, like, I don't want to turn this into a thing of politics, but it's like, I can see how someone
it's an example. That's fine.
I can see how somebody who has, you know, mental issues becomes attracted to this quagmire that is.
I don't think you have to quantify it by mental issues. I like right now, you telling me that Roseanne had mental issues is news for
okay.
me.
Okay.
Like I don't. I am sorry to hear that, and quite frankly, if she has these issues that I was unaware of, people should be made aware of that. So that they can draw a conclusion from what she said from her condition.
Right, but
I think that's
an excuse. It's yes.
It's a qualifier. I'm not going to excuse it entirely.
Well,
I'm
okay.
Not.
So then if she has I might
dismiss it entirely and be like, whatever, I'm not even following Roseanne because I can't trust what's coming out of her Twitter. At that point,
like I listened to a podcast that she did on the Joe Rogan podcast for about.
Oh, she was on Joe Rogan.
Yeah, she was on Joe Rogan for about 3 hours, and it was just conspiracy theory after conspiracy theory after conspiracy theory.
Really?
She believes in chemtrails. She believes in
well, who doesn't?
Monsanto genetically modifying our food
they
to make
are.
Us slaves and
to make us slaves. Oh,
yeah,
I didn't hear that.
Some
part.
Pretty wacky stuff. So, but
Monsanto is absolutely trying to profit.
Anyway. My point being that, okay, if Roseanne suffers from multiple personality disorder, I come to the conclusion that clearly one of her personalities is racist.
Well, okay. If you were going to break down multiple personalities, wouldn't one of them always be racist?
Right. And again, she has a history of making racist comments before. It's like, it's not...
Oh, okay. All right, continue your point. I guess I'm getting a little lost in your defense of her with a mental illness versus...
No. I'm saying that she presented that as an excuse for what she said. Again, like she blamed Ambien and she blamed...
Yes, she blamed everybody she could possibly blame.
Right, but that, and again, that points to guilt to me also, because what's one of the first things that, you know, one of the first things that, you know, psychologically speaking, one of the first things that people do is they try to deflect. And
right.
She's, you know, like people who are genuinely remorseful and who feel bad about the actions that they take accept responsibility. And in no way, shape, or form has she accepted responsibility. It's just excuse, excuse, excuse.
Okay. At what point in your process, like if you come out with something and you think it's funny, and you, like if you're a racist.
Mm-hmm. You, oh, and she also gave the example. I'm sorry. I don't mean to cut you off.
Go ahead.
But she also said that she thought that Valerie Jarrett was Jewish. That was another thing. Like, she's like, oh, looking at her picture, I thought she was Jewish. As if that made it okay.
Yeah, that's deflection. That's a twice removed deflection, I think. But my question is, like, at what point does somebody saying, oh, like, it was Ambien, it was my multiple personality, it was this, it was that. Like, excuse the overlying, like, sort of thought process in maybe you shouldn't have a Twitter.
Well, clearly.
Or maybe if you're going to have a Twitter because you're a famous person.
You should have somebody run it for you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly where I'm going. Like, at what point does this, like, sort of, like, this could have been avoided if you knew sort of your, I don't want to say limitations, caveats.
If you knew, hey, I have this issue and I should probably have.
Yeah, look, I understand that I'm not always in control of what I'm saying. If I'm going to have a platform where I'm saying things, I should probably have somebody mediate that and control that a little bit. So the excuse for me falls a little flat, because if you're like, I got this, knowing everything I know about myself, that's just non-self-reflective, which we've all been guilty of, but not an excuse for not eventually turning things over.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, as a professional, you have a manager. The manager should be able to tell you, you probably need to do this given all of your things that you have to bring into this. You know what I mean?
And
like, if I was famous, if the Black Tribbles saw fit to elevate me or you and you to a level of
stardom. I like how you were like, you, wait, me and
everyone,
you, or maybe you, possibly
everyone
you.
Involved.
Come on. Go ahead.
Everyone involved. I'm trying to, what I'm saying is, if we were elevated to a level of stardom, like, I don't know, George Clooney level.
Okay.
Right? Wouldn't they also insist that someone take over our Twitter?
Yeah. And then again, that's
just why, for a level
that's
of protection
why I don't
on
feel,
investment.
That's why I don't feel a lick of pity for her. And then here's the other thing, that it's like, she's fine. Financially, she's fine. This isn't
gonna
affect
fine.
She's been fine. This was just like a distraction for her.
This was being fun.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, it's
I
not
mean,
like
an extra money.
There's no financial repercussions for her, really. Not really. Her show got canceled.
Sure, but what do you think about the rest of her cast?
I mean,
they've been very vocal on this.
You know what? A lot of people feel like there's a possibility of the show getting a spinoff, focusing on the older daughter, Darlene. And from what I understand,
she has the clout to do it.
Right, because she's coming off of that Big Bang show.
It's not that. She's actually been behind the scenes of a lot of
Right. But
she was on there as a favor to the boyfriend from the original series that is on the Big Bang series.
Leonard, yeah.
Leonard,
the guy who plays Leonard,
you.
Yeah.
She has come and guest starred as a favor to him. As he was a co-creator? Was he a co-creator?
I'm not sure.
I'm
not a
sure
fan of that
was.
Show.
We've
talked
know
about
what?
This.
If you like Frasier, you should be. But
anyway.
Anyway.
There's talk of the possibility of her getting her spinoff.
Roseanne, actually, as it being constituted as Roseanne being spun off without her, or I guess that's not a spinoff. I guess that's a continuation without her as the actress.
Right. So
now they killed Dan off in the first
last season of
as
the
a heart attack in the thing.
And, right, but then you find out that's that whole season was a dream sequence. It's kind of cheap.
The whole thing is, yeah. It's I mean, come on. Sometimes they're like, we're going to continue the show. Here's how we're going to explain it, and that's fine. And that's what they would do in this case. And maybe she dies of a heart attack.
I don't... See, there's part of me that does feel bad for the other cast members, because you have John Goodman on there. You have you have the other actors that are on there that are
fair.
Independent of Roseanne Barr, the actress.
Yes.
But at the same time, there's also a part of me that's like, you got in bed with someone that you know does wacky shit from time to time.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like you
accepted the risk.
You accepted the risk that, you know, it's Roseanne Barr. She's made previous comments. She's like, you know, every time she says something, it bothers or offends somebody.
Yep.
Because that's just the type of person that she is.
Yep.
But, and I'm not.
And they gave her a spotlight.
And I'm not shitting on her for being that type of person. But again,
yep.
Like.
It's what made her money. It's what made her
but
famous.
But again, freedom of speech does not exclude freedom from the consequences that come with freedom of speech.
Agreed. Agreed.
You know?
I had a really interesting conversation with somebody at work.
Okay.
And it was sort of anchored around more less free speech and more free market, if
okay.
that makes sense. Right? So, like, the concept of the conversation was basically this. if you do something, if you say something, and you're in business, mm-hmm. right? Whatever that business may be, including entertainment, including selling widgets, whatever it is. If you say something, if you take a stand on something, if you do something, it is going to be judged by the public, and your product, what you are producing, will be determined by the free market with the knowledge of what you have said, right? So, like, it doesn't necessarily need to be a boycott or anything like that, but for Roseanne herself, if you look at it, you say whatever you want. That's protected under the Free Speech Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
But the amount of people that watch your show...
It's going to decrease or increase based on...
Based on what you said.
Right.
Right? So a little of it becomes advertising. A little bit of it falls into just being a human and speaking your mind. Whatever your mind may be. No judgment there. Right? Just a blanket statement. That... you're going to say something and people are going to react and your business is going to benefit or suffer or be changed in any way based on what you said. Now, the problem with that conversation quickly became she doesn't work for herself. This is an indie project.
Right. It's on ABC. And I got to, there's some people who are like, oh, props to NBC for, NBC like quickly canceled the show as a result of her comments. And
okay.
Again, I have mixed feelings on the thing.
Well, what are your mixed feelings?
Well,
talk to me because
the show should have been canceled.
I think we found a great place in the show to talk about mixed feelings because we can explore both.
Because the show being canceled as a result of her, again, there's that part of me that feels a little bit for the rest of the cast.
Oh, absolutely.
Because
absolutely.
They're, they didn't have anything to do with what she said.
Nope.
They
can't control one person. One person can have empathy for the people that are their employees / coworkers / cast members.
Right, and they've quickly, yeah. Shot her down for what she said.
And she quickly rebuffed their shot downs,
yeah.
by the way.
And this is not the first show where this has happened, because I don't know if you know about the Lethal Weapon show.
Oh my
where they
God,
recast,
yeah, I do.
Yeah, where they recast.
They recast the lead, one of the lead actors.
Yeah.
Because of his, well, he was a fucking crazy person, like, on set.
Yeah, like he would go off on people. Like have you
like heard? Assault. Like charges, well, maybe not charges, but like allegations.
And I yep. know that him and the actor who plays Damon Wayans, who's also on the show with him and those two have gotten into.
The actor who plays Damon Wayans?
No, the actor, because it's Lethal Weapon, and he plays Roger Murtaugh, and Damon Wayans plays Roger Murtaugh.
Yeah, so in the movie, he was Danny Glover.
Right, but
yes.
They've gotten into it. So.
Yeah, allegedly and all of that.
Right. But in this time where a show can be made or broken, it's interesting to me that we're in times where a show can completely fall apart, not based on its ratings, but
by
the actions of...
You remember, like, back in the day? Like, I guess you wouldn't remember back in the day, because back in the day, as things happened, they were... swept under the rug, covered up, they were not viewed, right? But like you had things going on shows that today would have ruined them, and they went on for 20 years. They were classics, they were standards, they were the highest regard of shows because people kept stuff quiet. And there wasn't Twitter for actors to undermine their own projects simply by voicing whatever their opinion was, popular or unpopular.
Yeah. And listen, I don't want, because you gave it when I kind of broached this subject with you, you talked about, and I'm not a sports person, so I'm going to kind of lean on you to
okay.
give us the background.
Fair,
but you gave up. You gave another example of somebody.
Well,
it's
interesting because at around the same time that Roseanne Barr was being like persecuted for her speech online, and the ramifications of her actions came to light. There was another in the sports world, Brian Colangelo.
Who is the
76ers.
General manager?
General manager, yeah. For our professional basketball team here in Philly. He was implicated by a media outlet in having a burner account.
A burner Twitter account. Yes, and we're talking, this is the account where there's no picture or anything. It's just the
little Easter egg and a name.
Right.
And he was implicated. Now, when the initial investigation came out by the media outlet that looked into this, it's called The Ringer. I don't necessarily want to keep harping on that, but The Ringer came out and said, and called him for a comment on the story that they were running. And that was the first time they told him or the 76ers or anybody. They said, hey, listen, we know that you have your Twitter account. You know, I don't remember what it was, Brian Colangelo, whatever. He was very transparent with that account. Mm-hmm. But we also know you have a secondary burner account.
And it was like, it was, we find out later that it's run by his wife.
Well, it gets deeper from there.
Okay, go ahead.
Here's what The Ringer did. The Ringer said, we know you have this account, your account, and we have this other account, right, that we've identified to be yours. And he said, yeah, that's mine. What I do is I go in and I use that to monitor my people, anyone in my organization. I don't tweet from it. I don't do anything. Right? I use it to view. And they said, okay, thank you for the comment. And as soon as they were off the phone, right, what they did was they stung him a little bit. Like it was a sting operation. They told him about one that they knew about, but they knew about four others.
Okay.
But they told him about one. So he gets off the phone, and then immediately the like three or four others that were still active that they knew were his or linked to him through AI and through whatever Twitter research, they knew those went private within an hour.
Okay. So he immediately...
They were like, oh, we got him. All of that comes public. The 76ers, Philadelphia basketball team, goes into, like, investigation mode. They hire the same law firm that handled Deflategate.
Okay.
The Tom Brady deflating the balls.
Yeah.
Many, many jokes about that. But they went into that, they retained them and they had them investigate. And what wound up happening was his wife, who was grilled for several hours, independent of anyone, by this independent counsel, basically, admitted that all of the other burner accounts were hers. And what had happened was she was, one, disseminating information that should not be known outside of
like
the
like medical information about the players.
Medical information, which runs in the HIPAA laws, but also information about players that were not covered by HIPAA, but still, like, the organization sees as, like, sort of not condemnation. What's the... when you're not protecting your own, like... Basically, they were giving up secrets from the organization.
Like trader secrets or something like that.
Yeah, basically. They were giving up...
Inside information.
Inside information on the organization to the public, even though they were direct responses to people who were critics. And that's what it was. All of these other accounts were really coming to the defense of the general manager.
Uh-huh.
The whole thing basically breaks down to there was a woman, like, defending her man.
Okay.
That's how she viewed it.
Right.
through the investigation and through the language that is available online and through all of the other Twitter people who have like sort of technical background and can trace this stuff, they all kind of came to the same conclusion, and she admitted to that she was trying to defend him. And she set up a bunch of accounts with Easter eggs on them to try and kind of combat the negative opinions and publicity of her husband.
Okay.
Now, the problem was the HIPAA thing specifically, but also other stuff, the trade secrets, that was coming out, because he would come home from a hard day at work and she would ask him, "How was your day?" And he would tell her. And then she would go to Twitter.
Okay.
And she admitted to this. She would go to Twitter and she would
say, or at least that's how she's spinning it.
And there's millions of dollars at stake. Maybe he's providing cover and she's taking the sword for this. But if we take him at their word, he would come home and he would go, "Oh, I had a bad day at work. So-and-so failed their physical." And she would go, "Oh." And then she would go online with one of her Twitter accounts, and somebody would say, "Oh, so-and-so's a bust." And she would like be like, "Well, his knee isn't healed yet. Lay off."
Right,
to,
right.
To come to defense. And it was, if you take that story at face value, which I'm doing for this dialogue, she was coming to the defense of her husband. However, he had no idea, but he had divulged secrets from the organization. Right?
To her, right.
And that found them cause to dismiss him.
Well, he resigned before they got a chance to dismiss him.
He resigned. That was the negotiated package that they figured out. I mean, they didn't have cause because it's not him. It was his wife, and she's not part of the contract.
Right, right.
And they can't prove otherwise. But he resigned because he had ruined his credibility. And that's where it ties back into this story with Roseanne. He had destroyed his credibility with his own organization to continue on in his role because he had discussed internal issues externally.
Right.
Even though it was his spouse. Now, Roseanne didn't do any of that. She just had a singular thought on her own, separate.
Right.
Right? So, but both of them, the only commonality that you can really pull between the two is both of them put their organization in a bad light.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you run into the commonality, and that's where you run into a similar end result, which was the Sixers negotiated and finally paid out, I'm sure, their general manager to resign because he put the trust of the organization in jeopardy, and so he had to go. With Roseanne, and what the rest of the cast is putting out is that she, through her own actions, jeopardized the brand
right.
of Roseanne the show and NBC, ABC?
ABC.
ABC, the network, and the cast members, the, I would say, cohorts. She put all of that at risk. And they had to, at the very least, separate themselves from her. And they're still exploring options.
The possibility of a spin-off.
For continuing without her. And possibly even keeping the Roseanne name. Like, they own the show, Roseanne. So they could continue without her. It's just a matter of how they work that out. All of the, both of those examples are individuals that have put their organization at risk through social media.
Yeah.
Through speaking their mind, whether anonymously or not.
Okay.
With now one, the sports analogy being that they had information that not a normal person would have, and you know, so that's the only caveat to that argument. But both of them did that. Both of them were dismissed. Can the organization move on from that?
You're the sports person, so...
Well, the sports one, yeah, they'll always move on. Can the entertainment one move on
without Roseanne? Yeah, I think the show can continue without her if they
choose
to.
Without the figurehead.
Yeah, as they choose. Well, you know what? From what I understand, this last season, the show wasn't even focused on her. It was more focused on the daughter, so that's why they think...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I
haven't seen the show, so I'm going based off of what I've read online, but like from reviews online, the show's been mostly focused on the daughter, the older...
So they could write her off with a quick death and a mournful two episodes and then move on.
I don't even think... Yeah, I mean, they could realistically just completely... Maybe... Have you seen the meme where it's like Roseanne's fading away like she's been snapped out of existence by the Infinity Gauntlet?
Oh, my God, no. That's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. So she's been snapped out of existence and it's just the rest of the cast.
Or maybe a Back to the Future, like they're fading.
I don't know.
That would be great.
I mean, there exists the possibility that the show can continue without her. I don't... Again, mixed
they
feelings.
They can do it. Who's really care? You know what? It's secondary to issue. Never mind. I was going to say, who really cares about the Roseanne show, quite frankly? But it's secondary to the issue. So continue.
Yeah, I mean, like, with the Roseanne case, I feel like it's justified. Like, they should have. And I'm amazed ABC made the... it was like within hours.
Did you think they would weather the storm?
I thought they would try to. So
really?
I was a little surprised when they were like, nope, show's canceled.
That's funny because like you take Tiger Woods. It's a little bit of a parallel.
Okay.
Go with me. I'm making a bridge.
Okay.
But Tiger Woods cheats on his wife, right? It comes to life... And it comes to life to the public after it comes to life internally. Do you remember any of that?
A little bit, yeah.
His wife chasing him out of his house with a golf club, one of his golf clubs, and busting in his windshield and stuff as he tries to flee the property.
Yeah, I didn't catch that part. Again,
it was interesting, but it kind of came to light that he had had multiple affairs or multiple one-night stands or whatever you want to call it. He cheated on his wife multiple times.
Okay.
Because he was Tiger Woods. He was the best golfer in the world, and that got you a lot of play, apparently. But my overall point is that his sponsors immediately dismissed him. They were gone. They ghosted on him, like, within a day or two of that coming out. And... They had clauses in their contract, and they had everything ready to go, where they could pull the plug if need be. Not that anybody really thought that Tiger Woods was going to be this guy.
Right.
But they had it in the contract, and they were able to pull. So the fact that they could... I mean, shows eventually and ultimately are advertising vehicles.
Right.
So it's kind of the same thing. So I'm not surprised that they took definitive action on a breadwinner when they were going to be untenable. You know what I mean? It's not that surprising. It's surprising that it was a joke from a comedian.
See, you say joke, but I...
Well, okay. Let me put it in this context then before you judge me.
No, I'm not judging.
No.
Okay.
No, I get it. But let me put it in this context. You have someone who is a funny person who has a history of spitting during the national anthem, and they say something untoward, right?
Right, 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 right.
So,
well, listen.
Look at Louis C.K. Louis C.K. got eviscerated.
Yeah.
Right? For things that came to light about him in his personal life, outside of Twitter, albeit for this conversation, but... He's done.
Yeah.
He's done. Mm-hmm. Right? And that was just him.
Okay.
I mean, it's I guess I don't know where I was going with Louis C.K. But
okay, I mean, I'm a little amazed because, or maybe I shouldn't be. I don't know. Again, there's talk of Netflix picking up the spinoff.
Seriously?
Yeah, there's already, you know, there's people that theorizing that, you know, Netflix could easily pick up the Darlene show.
Would they take it?
Not with Roseanne. Roseanne's dead.
If they called it Darlene?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so that's where that's headed.
That might be something Netflix would pick up.
Yeah, and especially since, come on, let's face it, there are people that are going to continue to tune in. I don't know. I thought it was an interesting conversation.
Would it have a different tone without her?
Like I said, from what I've read online, it seems like the show was already kind of... Spinning in that direction.
So the writers could handle the shift,
yeah,
is what you're saying.
Yeah, I think so, easily. It's a bigger question of whether they should... I don't know if there's an answer to that because, like I said, I have mixed feelings about. Like, I get that people lost their jobs as a result of that, but you got in bed with someone that you knew. It's a fucking loose cannon, you know. Like, if you like, it's like coming up to me and getting mad at me because I curse. And if you've listened to me for any, you know, length of time, you know that I'm going to throw a couple of bombs out there. So it's like you can't get upset. Yeah, I know, right? You can't get upset with me if I throw out a couple of curse words when you know what I mean? Like, you know that this person has a history of saying racist stuff.
Yeah.
And she has a history of doing outrageous crap. And she's constantly online, you know, ranting about conspiracy theories and, you know, like defending Trump. And
okay, but... conspiracy theories to out and out racism is way different.
No. I know.
I mean, maybe it does speak to the same psyche, but I'm not drawing a direct correlation.
I'm not going to be surprised if somebody I know has a history of saying crazy shit says some crazy shit. do you get what I'm saying? That you know, it's like, wow. Oh, and you're throwing out racist stuff too. Oh. Okay, I guess we're, you know.
So at some point, you're going to be like, yeah, he probably said that.
Yeah,
in relation to me,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, exactly. Like, yeah, he said that. He totally said that. I believe, you know what? I can picture it going down. I can picture the exact conversation that led to that statement, you know? Because when you're around a person, you know, even if, you know, for 10 minutes, it's like...
Hell, I said something that you thought was hilarious in front of, a friend of the show.
Uh-huh.
And she was not having it. That would have been at the Black Panther career.
Yeah.
Premiere. And I said it, and you laughed, and she was like, no. And I went, oh, my bad.
Well,
you know, like, I didn't realize, and it was coming from a, like...
But that's why I think context is important.
Yes,
because
exactly. Audience as well. Yes.
That too, yeah. But, like, if you...
I didn't,
like,
know my audience.
If somebody was talking to me, and they ran up and were like, oh, my God, he just said something racist.
Yeah.
Anybody that knows me, like, oh, well, Ramon's probably trying to be funny.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, yeah, Ramon said something racist because it was called for.
Right, but, like, it's not out of character. No one's going to be like, oh, my God, Ramon said something racist?
Yeah, yeah.
No, Ramon probably said something racist because he was trying to be funny.
Right. He's calling attention to the social issue, which is, and then we could explain it, but somebody out of context and out of box.
Right.
But that's not what happened here.
But that's not what happened here, right? You have a person who has a history of doing
this,
and they did it.
And who they support.
Right. Exactly. Yes. So, again, no pity. Now, the other person that was in the news this week, this is a big news week for people saying outrageous stuff.
Okay.
Was Samantha Bee.
Okay. I was curious if you were going to bring that in to this conversation. That's
I was, because people have been equating the two, you know, they've been equating Roseanne Barr and Samantha Bee.
Yeah. You know what? Can I say
not the same thing?
Before I continue, can I say lazy narrative?
Yeah, very lazy.
Can I say, two people said offensive things about people. Let's group them together.
Right.
That's kind of lazy. Now, Can you find exception with both? Yes, but not for the same reason.
No.
I don't think.
I don't think that what Samantha Bee said was necessarily wrong.
I forget, under the new rules, since we're on the Black Tribbles, can we say what she said?
I'm not even going to say it because I'm not. So she called Donald Trump's daughter, I can't remember her name, is it Ivanka?
One of them.
Right. She called her a feckless C word.
Good at it.
Yeah. And first off,
feckless was amazing.
Feckless was an amazing use of the word. Yeah.
I love it.
And I'm pretty sure Trump was sitting there like the next, you know, as soon as that came out, I was like, no, my daughter has a lot of feck. She's very feckled. She's very feck. She's the most feckled person I know. Because he doesn't know what the hell feckless means.
She's the finest feckled person.
She's she's a model of feck.
Oh my god.
Because that's just very Trumpian. You know, I'm going to create that
absolutely
verbiage. Like,
she wears the finest feckles.
Oh, I bought her feckles.
They come from
every Christmas, I bring feckles for her.
It's like the song says, four feckled doves.
Yeah, four feckled doves. Three
feckled hens.
And a feckle in a part. Whatever the song is. But because I'm sure he doesn't know what the hell feck. And I'm pretty sure the most looked up word this week
was
on
feckled?
Google was feckless.
I put in F-E and it came up.
Yeah.
So that's guaranteed.
Every year, I picture Trump sitting there like, every year my daughter, we contact the Wakanda and we bring in all the feckles that we possibly can. She is the biggest importer of feckles possible from Wakanda. That's a real place, by the way.
But of course, feckless means
lacking initiative or strength of character. Irresponsible.
Yes. Now, okay. To
feck
be
is
fair,
a majority. Wait, I'm sorry. So something without feck is without effect or ineffective.
Okay, but to be fair,
uh-huh.
One, she has worked her way into his inner circle. Now
she is his advisor.
May it be nepotism or not.
She's his advisor.
She has proved herself, at least to his standard, competent.
And what Samantha Bee was referring to,
yes,
is she was talking about how there are people who are crossing the border who are being separated. You have people who are crossing the border.
Yes.
From Mexico or from wherever, and they're basically being separated from their parents. You have the children
who are allowed to stay,
and the parents are being sent back. Mm-hmm. And I think that's on purpose, and that's mm-hmm. what Samantha Bee was trying to bring to light. Because, you know, like, if you think about it, right? And
okay.
You're someone who's immigrating to this country illegally.
Yes.
And you're coming over here with your family, and you get here to the border, and your child is allowed to stay, but you as a parent is being sent back. That
because you were caught after you crossed or
after
at
you
the
cross
border.
Or at the border, be it whatever.
Okay.
That sends the message that if I try to sneak into this country, I'm going to lose my child. Right? I think And you could spin that
really?
Any which way. Yeah, what do you think it does?
No, it makes people... That circumstance happening.
Yes, it's happening. And that's what Samantha Bee was trying to bring to light by calling the president's daughter a feckless C-word. She's saying that, you know, you, as the child of an immigrant...
Yeah, Trump.
Trump and Trump's wife... You are collecting all the benefits.
Well, Trump's wife is an immigrant.
Trump's wife is an immigrant.
Trump is a son of an immigrant.
Right. No. Trump's wife is an immigrant.
Yes, that's what I said.
Yeah, and his daughter being, you know, the child of an immigrant, you are not suffering any of the consequences that you are putting people under, you know?
Yeah.
And I got to... give it to Samantha Bee, because I, you know, she got on her show and she did her apology. And that apology was masterful.
Really?
I think so. Because
how so? Because I may disagree with you.
Because it wasn't an apology at all.
No, it wasn't.
In any way, shape, or form. It wasn't an apology. She said, I'm sorry.
It sounded like one.
It sounded like an apology, but it's like, I'm sorry, because you ignorant folk got caught up in the fact that I used the C word.
Yeah.
Instead of focusing.
And when she was genuine, she said, I'm sorry that my choice of words detracted from the issue and gave fodder to the sides that are trying to undermine what the discussion is.
Exactly.
And that was her apology. But what it was supposed to be, and what it probably sounded like to some people, was sorry for using the C word in regards to this person. I shouldn't have done that.
And I
used
even though I use the word all the time.
Yes, on my show. Program. This is the one time I have to apologize for is what it sounded like.
And she said that she's not going to use it anymore.
And that's probably smart.
Well, but you know what? I got to give her points. I got to give Samantha Bee points because and she said this in her apology. Like, I tried to, it's a word that I'm trying to take back. And I know that there are a lot of people that want to get rid of that word.
Assault.
She,
in this case.
Right.
And she did.
And she did. But what she would, the underlying message to what she was saying wasn't wrong. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, in the context of free speech and in the context of comedy writing, it wasn't wrong to use it there.
No, and in the context of, you know, what she was actually saying. You are a person that lacks strength, that lacks character,
but what you're defending is the word feckless, not the C word, which is what she was apologizing for.
Right.
Right. So that's the whole thing, right? What's the divergence? If she had used the word feckless.
Moron.
Thank you. If she had thrown in moron after feckless, this wouldn't be a discussion.
Right, because...
So she apologized. Well, she apologized for the C word, but she didn't apologize for feckless, and everyone's good with that.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah,
I know. Because that's the insult.
That was the point. That was the insult. The insult wasn't feckless. The C word. It was the feckless. And that's what... That's what aggravated
me. We got way over the top.
I know. But, you know, I'm passionate about this because...
No, I agree.
When we were having our conversation about the whole Daniel Glover video, everybody zeroed in on the fact that, he's talking about gun control. The video wasn't about gun control,
There was an issue of gun control in there, but that wasn't the point.
Because I think...
It was an art piece.
It was an art piece that was talking about the experiences of people of color in America.
It was, this is America.
This is America. Yeah. Exactly. Everybody focused.
Which isn't one issue.
Everybody zeroed in on the gun thing.
Oh, God.
What?
Isn't that the part of, this is America. We focus on one thing at a time.
Exactly. It's like.
Oh, my God, he's so future thinking. Oh, my God.
Everybody focused on the C word. No one focused on feckless.
And no one knows that was, what that means.
But that was the true insult.
Yes.
Agreed.
She's already done it where the C word doesn't have power anymore. But she's a little late to the game because did it really? I mean, okay. Granted, I'm speaking as a white man here. I don't see that word as having power.
But we're not women. We're not women. And we haven't had that word used against us.
No, and if I have, I laughed. But that word didn't have any power for me, and that's all I'm speaking from. But the word feckless was the one that was there for power. The word, the C word, was there for effect.
Yes. It's like when I call someone a fucking moron. The insult isn't calling them. The insult isn't the fucking. It's the moron. You are an idiot. You are an imbecile. You know.
Right.
And that
And everyone reacts to the F word.
Right.
Everyone. And that's crazy. Mm-hmm.
Because it's okay to call someone a moron.
Yeah.
It's completely okay.
Is it?
Well, in that statement, it seems like it's completely okay to call someone a moron.
That's so weird.
But it is, isn't
it? That's so weird because what is the arbitrary nature of what words we decide are offensive?
I don't know.
Because if I call you a moron...
I think that's more offensive.
No, right. But if I call you a moron versus I call you a retard...
Yeah, and there's people...
What is more offensive? And the R word...
Is the one that catches it because it has all these... But see,
there's a whole bunch of other things
there's
on
weight
that...
That these words carry. Maybe, and
they're words. How do they carry weight?
I don't know.
They're sounds.
They're sounds that you make with your mouth. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's so interesting that
any influences in your life ever tell you that words, doesn't matter what people say, you be you, like that kind of...
Oh, you mean like sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me?
Did anybody ever communicate
that to you? It seems like that term has died.
Really?
And words, because there are a lot of people... That and you know, listen. I understand the power of words. Words do carry power.
Well, yes, all through history, words carry power.
But I was brought up on the understanding that you know,
words can never hurt you.
You don't know. I was brought up on the understanding that you don't let words hurt you.
Okay, brought up on the other side of that, which was words can never hurt you. The end of the sticks and stones. Parable.
May break my bones, but words will never hurt you.
Right.
But,
words will never hurt me. And quite frankly, words never hurt me.
Well, that's you and me. We have thicker skin than most people.
Well, is it mind over matter? I mean, somebody yells at you, and it's not even matter, but you know, someone yells something at you. If someone called me a honky today, I would laugh in their face. I would think it was hilarious. But, like, you know... Does that mentality, is that mentality our generation?
I don't know. Because
have power unless you give them power.
There is a whole movement that's like, oh, you know, certain words carry a certain weight to them.
That's
and
ridiculous.
We don't, yeah.
It only gives weight. Hold my microphone for a second.
Okay, I'm holding your microphone for a second. I mean, like, listen, I understand... That certain statements can be damaging, you know. Uh-huh. Like I you know, as someone who was bullied when he was younger, but
bullied is different than
words.
Yeah,
it is. But you know, like there are insults that come with that, and for me, those insults were always a source of fuel for me to be better, be stronger, to be.
Well, that's good that you used it that way. But can I put words in kind of a context for you?
Go ahead.
All right. And bear with me on this analogy.
Okay.
The idea that we ourselves give words power when we hear them. Uh-huh. Okay? What is our economy based on right now?
Gold.
No.
The dollar.
Right, so the dollar does not have a gold standard. It used to be based on gold. How much gold the U.S. Controlled, right, gave the dollar its power. Right now, it's more of a concept, and it's actually based on silver.
Okay.
I don't know if you knew that.
No, I didn't know that.
Okay, so a dollar, right? A dollar, how much silver do you think you get for a dollar?
I don't know.
All right. Let me give you this.
Okay.
I'm handing Ramon something right now.
Okay, this is Certificate of Authenticity.
Yes.
It says Element AG Fine.
Which is?
Silver.
Yes. Thank
you. It's 1 gram of AG silver.
Yes.
It's the elemental symbol for silver.
Yes.
And there's 1 gram of silver on this card.
Yes.
American Certified Bullion. What is this?
So it's silver bullion. It's a silver bar that is
1 gram.
1 gram of silver.
Okay.
Right? What do you think the value of that is?
I don't know.
52 cents.
Okay.
All right, so that's half of what $1
represents.
Gets you.
Okay.
What can you do with that?
With this?
Yeah.
Nothing, because I can't go to the store and spend this.
Can you eat it?
Nope.
Can you build a house out of it?
Nope.
Like, it's essentially worthless, even though it's a fine metal.
Yes.
Right? We give the dollar power only because of our ideal of it, in terms of it being able to be spent, and the people's idea of it being able to accept it as payment.
Okay.
It is literally an idea.
Okay.
So when you look at, like, people's thought, like, words can never hurt us. Well, words emote ideas, and ideas drive movements.
Okay.
Drive economies, drive governments, drive all of it, right? When you look at a revolution, right? What is their core fundamental drive? Their drive is to claim the hearts and minds of the people.
Okay.
And they do that with words because they don't have anything else. They go out and they preach to the people. You know, it's almost a religious experience when you're going to go out and overthrow your power base, because those are the people that, for better or for worse, are protecting you from the outside world to your, again, concept.
Okay.
So when we look at, do words hurt us? It's all about what power we put into it. All about that. So when someone says feckless C word, or someone says somebody looks like a gorilla or whatever.
Uh-huh.
When we say all this stuff, we're throwing power behind it. Why does what any individual, one person that doesn't happen to be in charge of nuclear codes, have to say that matters?
I don't know.
Why does it affect us like
there's,
that?
Because there are words that draw emotion from us.
Maybe only because we let it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I agree with you. And it's like maybe that's the lesson from all this. That
yeah.
Certain things that people say are going to drive emotion.
That's why they say it. That's why they say it.
Yeah, because they're looking for that reaction. Because I know when I call when I call someone an imbecile, it does for me, and this is why I use curse words. Like for me, curse words can be a period on the sentence. You know, it's like you're not just an imbecile; you're a fucking imbecile. If that makes sense.
Yes. Oh, it makes absolute sense. But and you're using the power of that word. But the word only has power because it has power because somebody gave it to him.
Yeah. But you know, I remember.
You're leveraging someone else's thought process.
I remember being in school and calling people imbeciles, and it didn't get the same reaction
from my teacher. Right, because they didn't know what that word was.
It didn't get the same reaction from the teacher unless I called him a fucking imbecile.
Hmm.
All right.
Weird.
Yeah, it is. But I still don't think that Samantha B. deserve to be lumped in with the...
I think that was bad timing. I think that was really bad timing, and I agree.
Yeah.
I don't think she would have been lumped in had Roseanne not done that to start.
Yeah. So...
Agreed.
Let's put a bow on this. I feel like... So clearly you have the freedom of speech, folks. You have the freedom to say whatever you want to say. Remember that freedom does not free you from the consequences of what you say.
Yeah, if you think that you could say whatever you want because you have that amendment right.
You do.
And you're correct. But if you think that it will come without consequence. Now, take it out of context and say you are a shop owner and you say something that causes your customer base to dwindle. Because they did not like it.
Yeah.
Then the free market another free thing in our society will dictate that you go out of business.
So or it should dictate. Because that's not always the case.
Well, yeah. And I mean, it depends on what you say. If you say something that's offensive to a majority of your customer base and you can't make the books balance, then you go out of business. If you say something that is controversial to a minority of your customer base, then and they leave, things might be tight, but the books may dictate that you stay in business and in practice, and you can continue on. You take the hit, but you roll. And that's free speech, free market economy. That's all of it.
Okay.
Just understand that what you say may have
consequences.
Yeah.
And I think the other lesson is we need to be more attentive. We need to be more aware of what we're allowing us to offend. So
Yeah. Well, as receivers,
yeah.
We need to understand what should offend us, and quite frankly, it's all just words, and it only has the power that you give it. Now, as the speaker, you should also be aware that you have power because you're speaking from a point, especially as somebody who is in the public eye, you have the ability to speak and be heard by more people and people that are impressed by the fact that you are in the position you are in.
Right. Yeah. So is that the second? Is that the third lesson, that if you are one of the few that do have that power and that ability, that your words are heard by millions, or that you need to be very careful what you say?
If you're in a position of power, whatever it is, business,
perceived,
politics,
however it's perceived, yeah.
However your power is perceived, Your words carry weight to the point that you have to realize before you speak. Otherwise, you're being negligent.
Oh, so wait a minute. Does this tie back to one of those lessons that I know I learned it as a child? Be mindful of what you're saying and you know, like, think before you speak.
Oh, my God. I haven't heard that forever.
Yeah.
Think before you speak was built into my childhood. Oh my God, I sound old. Oh my God,
no,
I sound
no, you
old.
Know what? You sound like you were brought up with character and with morals.
Think before you speak. Also, sticks and stones
may break my bones.
I was in that crossroads.
You know,
of those two sayings.
It's interesting
they
that
were both part of my upbringing.
Yeah, it's interesting that these are lessons that in 2018
we're having to revisit.
We have to revisit. Yeah, because you know, how often do people nowadays think before they speak? You know, you have people that just sit there and just
you know what,
whatever
it is.
Vomit. And it's also interesting to me that all of the majority of this, these were all online comments, or they were media comments.
Yep.
These were comments that were made through not conversation.
No.
But
through blanket statements that were interpreted by the recipients.
Exactly.
Which was everybody.
You know, and one of the things that we here at Garbled were big on is, you know, trying to bring back the art of the conversation, of sitting down with someone and actually talking.
And social media isn't a conversation. It's a series of statements. And that's what it's designed to be. It's a little bit reductionist in terms of how you want to have a dialogue.
Yeah.
And I've had a problem with it for almost since the get-go, but it could be crafted. I've come around to your line of thinking, Ramon.
Yeah.
But it could be crafted to be a discussion, but it has to be framed as a discussion, and everybody on both sides has to have that, I don't want to say training, but that discipline to have the conversation before it gets to that point.
Yeah. All right, folks, hit us up. We are available to you through garblepodcast@gmail.com. You can hit us up on our Facebook, which hasn't had a lot of traction. That's my fault. I will get on that. Sorry.
damn you. Ramon.
You can go to
garblepodcast.com
and you can download these episodes.
Yes. Also, you can reply directly to us right there as a part of the conversation of the particular subject we're talking about. So you can add to that discussion and we can bounce it off each other and other listeners as well.
All right. Take care, folks.
Have a great one.
Thank you for listening to the Garbled Podcast. Please like and share on social media and check out garbledpodcast.com for future episodes, updates, and conversation.